The Sanctuary, a community of Jesus people promoting the glory of God in all things to all nations through gospel-centered missional living. Whether it be working with groups in Africa to build orphanages and help rid the continent of AIDS, or feeding the hungry, giving to the oppressed, and helping the hurting who live in our own community, the Sanctuary invites you to be part of a culture of passionate service. You can change your world. Be inspired. Join the movement.
Bienvenidos todos. Just playing. Welcome this morning. My name is Jimmy Villanueva. I'm the worship pastor here at the Sanctuary Fellowship. Been on staff here for 10 and a half years. It's a long time. And it's a privilege and it's an honor, humbled to be able to share with you all about a topic that's dear to my heart, the topic of worship. We're in a series right now called Pathways. And so when I was preparing this week, my prayer was that I'd be able to give you some handles and some tools and hopefully a pathway to walk down to help you become a better, more sincere, more authentic worshiper of Jesus Christ. Amen? In John chapter 4, there's a story. Story of Jesus at a well with a Samaritan woman. I'm sure you're familiar with it. He has a conversation with her, asks her for a drink of water, and because of the cultural differences, she's taken back by the question. And she responds, "How can you, a Jew, Jesus, ask me, a Samaritan, for some water?" And Jesus, you know, being Jesus, being God, he starts reading her mail. And just starts just basically just, you know, "I know that you've had five husbands. The guy that you're living with now is not your husband." And just starts having this, man, very powerful conversation with her. And she's taken back again. And she's like, "Wait, are you a prophet?" And this is where the conversation right here takes a turn. She asks a very peculiar question. It's a question about worship. And it's a geography question, where she should worship. Her question, guys, shows how woefully and utterly deficient she is in her knowledge of what worship really is. Jesus responds in John 4:23-24. "The hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him." I've read the Gospels multiple times. I've read this text multiple times. But this week, man, I've just been taken back, you know, just at the fact that God is seeking. I mean, think about it. The creator of the universe speaks things into existence, holds the world, the heavens, in the palm of his hands, self-sufficient, omnipresent, omniscient, sovereign, King of kings and Lord of lords, Alpha and Omega, is seeking something. And what is he seeking? He's seeking worship from true worshipers. Why? Because he values it. Because it's important to him. He values worship. And if you are a child of God this morning, if you are redeemed, blood-bought child of the Most High, worship should matter to you, and you should want to grow in this area. Before we move on, I just want to spend some time just in prayer. I asked Wesley and Campbell, I want to go ahead and just get ready just to kind of lead us, to sing a song. I got saved 17 years ago, and at church, this is one of the songs that we started, you know, that I got familiar to as I was growing in my faith, and it was a song by Matt Redman called "The Heart of Worship." That was very fitting for this morning. As they sing these lyrics, feel free to use the lyrics maybe as your own words to just, man, pray and talk to the Lord this morning. You know, ask yourself, do I know what it means to be a true worshiper? Are you a true worshiper? Am I a true worshiper? And just pray and ask God just to reveal himself to you this morning. Pray for me too. I'm a little nervous, but I'm excited. Go ahead, Wesley.
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. Bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Oh, God, just bring us back to that place, Lord, where worship is more than just what takes place here, Father God, but it's every minute of every day, every facet of our lives, God. Workplace, home life, God, we have opportunities just to give you glory, just to bask in your presence, Lord, know you. Father God, I pray that our affections would be stirred up this morning. Father God, stir up our affections for you, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. So if I were to ask you, thank you, Wesley, thank you, Campbell, you guys are awesome. Yeah, go ahead and give them a round of applause. They're great. If I were to ask you, and I took a poll and just asked, you know, everyone in this room, for you to define worship, what would you say? I think for a lot of us, we would say something like it's a musically driven, maybe expression that takes place on a Sunday morning in a service based on your background, you know, growing up and maybe going to mass and maybe singing out of a hymnal or singing the latest U2-inspired worship song, et cetera, et cetera. We've compartmentalized worship to a Sunday morning experience, and that needs to change. A.W. Tozer said, to great sections of the church, the art of worship has been lost entirely, and in its place has come the strange and foreign thing called the program. That needs to change. It doesn't mean that what we do here doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that our songs don't have weight or meaning, that they're not important. Our times of corporate worship are extremely important. We see in Scripture time and time again. But it's not the starting point. It's not the place we're going to start with. We'll get to it. We're just not going to start there. We want to start with what Jesus has to say about worship. Because apparently you can have a conversation, a deep conversation about worship, and not reference music once. He says, true worshipers worship in spirit and in truth. In spirit, what does that mean? It's a response that springs up from a heart that is awakened by the Holy Spirit. It takes the very Spirit of God to be able to worship God, to be able to come to God. We were dead in our sins. The Bible says that no one seeks God, not even one. And it takes the very Spirit of God to come and breathe life into us, to awaken our hearts, so that we can see Jesus, so we can respond to the gospel rightly, so we can know him, and ultimately so we can worship him. What does it mean to worship in truth? It's worship that lines up with the truth of God's word. How do we know who Jesus is? How do we know who God is without the word of God? Right? I mean, I don't want to be worshiping the wrong Jesus. Right? I want to worship the right Jesus. I want to know his character and his goodness. How do I know about his holiness? How do I know about his faithfulness? It's the word of God. And also the word has a lot to say about how the way we approach God as well. Not with a flippant attitude, but man, just with reverence and awe, sincerity of heart, overwhelming joy, right? We need to worship God in spirit and in truth. In other words, it takes God to know God, and it takes God to worship God. The reason I wanted to start here with this story in our conversation about worship is because the story of the Samaritan woman is the story of every true worshiper. You, me, Pastor Joe, anyone in this room that claims to be a Christian. Jesus didn't only tell her about true worshipers, but he made her one as well. And I'm very thankful for that. I'm thankful for that in my own life. Years ago, My nephew and I, during Christmas break, my family lives in Austin, Hookem, right? Throw that in there. Lives in Austin, and because we use our time wisely, we chose to wait 5 hours in line for some brisket. Right. I know. Good use of time. We took our Christmas presents. We took our wrapping paper. We got a high five from a bunch of moms that were waiting in line because, we were using our time well and efficiently. To go to Franklin's Barbecue. I don't know if you've ever heard of Franklin's Barbecue. But at the time, it was ranked by Texas Monthly as the number one barbecue joint in the country. Bon Appetit magazine at the time said it was like the top 10 most influential restaurants in the company. Hole in the wall place. And then I had a bunch of friends and people that I trust and that I know that live in Austin that said, man, if you do it once, it's a bucket list kind of thing, but it's worth it. 5 hours. Man, that is a long time. Why would I do that? And how does going to get some meat, some brisket, have any, what does that have to do with worship, Jimmy? Well, in Romans, in the book of Romans, chapter 12, Paul says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, for this is your true and your proper worship. It's basically taking our everyday life and giving it to the Lord as our true and proper worship. But it's not the starting point. What's the starting point? In view of God's mercy, we're responding to something. We're responding to who God is and the mercy of God. I stood in line for 5 hours waiting to get some meat because Texas Monthly said, it's amazing. Because my friend said it's incredible. Because Bon Appetit magazine said it's incredible. And my response to the information I received was to wait in line for 5 hours. And I'll tell you, it was worth it. I could die happy. I mean, that meat was just incredible. Really, really good. We are responding. And in our worship, guys, we're responding to God. We are responding to God. Lou Giglio, the founder of the Passion Movement, said worship as a response, both personal and corporate, to God for who he is and what he has done. That's amazing, but that's also very convicting. Because the fact is, if our worship shows how much we value the Lord. It shows how much we see, how big we see God or how little we see God. The time that we spend during the week with him, the time that we're actively pursuing him, shows how much we value the Lord. Our expressions in here, you know, as we worship him, shows how much we value the Lord. I'm not talking to you, you know, I know everyone's different. You might be an introvert. You don't like, you know, a lot of emotion. I mean, I get it. Okay, but your posture says something about how you worship God. Well, you want to worship him for all that he is. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 145, verses 1 through 7. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you, and I will extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of your glorious splendor, of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. Do you hear the excitement in the psalm here? He's responding to a great God. He's seeing God, man, as magnificent, as worthy, as holy to be praised. We're responding to what else? To what God has done. We all know the verse, John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The older I get, so I've been a Christian now 17 plus years, and the older I get, the more aware I am of the brokenness of this place. Guys, I hate cancer. You know, I hate addiction. I've seen it ruin so many lives. The brokenness, you know, of talking to a student, you know, in Sanctus and talking about just home life, you know, an abusive parent or fill in the blanks. You know, the racial tension in our country. Just politics in general. The visceral hatred that people have towards each other. Human trafficking. It's a mess. Depression. This place is broken. And the place that I see the most brokenness, honestly, is not out there. It's not looking out into culture, even though it's messed up. It's looking inside. It's the brokenness that I carry in my own heart that I feel. And I think a lot of us in this place can probably identify with that. We feel the uneasiness inside of us. The gospel is amazing, and we're responding to the gospel of Jesus Christ because God could have left us down here to fend for ourselves. I mean, I deserve judgment. I deserve it. I know how broken I am, and I know how broken this place is. But God is gracious. He's slow to anger. He's rich in love. He is merciful. And for some strange reason, He loves you, and He loves me. And He chose to send His Son to be born of a teenage woman, a teenage girl on the run, perfect, healing people, loving people. He knows what it's like to be without friends, to feel abandoned, to be without a place to stay, where to lay his head. I didn't have a place to lay his head. And He took on nails in His hands and His feet, a sword in His side, a crown of thorns on His head. But that wasn't the worst of it. He took on my lust and my pride and my anger and my hypocrisy. The fact that God hates sin, and He took it. And He bore it on His body. And the judgment that I deserve, the judgment that you deserve, He took that for you. Because He loves you. When was the last time you just marveled at the cross? That's why we sing songs like, "May I Never Lose the Wonder," right? May I never lose the wonder of the cross. May I see it like the first time, standing as a sinner lost. Man, 17 years into it, it is easy. Man, to get so busy and so much going on to lose the wonder of the cross. We are responding to the cross. Again, our response reveals how we view God. Now, I get it. Some of us in this room, we struggle with this. Like, I love the Lord, Jimmy. But man, my life is crazy. I mean, I got 4 kids. One of them is really crazy. He's in your youth group. We know that life gets busy and it gets hectic. And, the oil and gas and the industry and, job loss and marriage troubles and financial stress and then dealing with, just the heartache of maybe losing a loved one or an illness. It is hard. How do I cultivate a desire for the Lord? How does my view of God change when I'm so busy? How do I raise my awareness to see Him for who He really is? In a moment, in a little bit, I'm going to ask Joe and Carissa. We've been having some conversations during the week about how to practically seek after the Lord in our day-to-day lives. And in a moment, I'm going to have them help us, give us some tools here how to do this. But one way that I want to focus on before I call them up is, guys, we need to stop being so easily satisfied, and we need to pursue the greater joy. So this isn't a message about try harder, do more. Man, work harder. You got to do, go, 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 read, pray, fast. That's not what I'm talking about. We do things because we like to do them. And I'm telling you that you're missing out on real, true joy. You're settling for McDonald's when a ribeye from Perry's is right on the table. We need to stop being so easily satisfied and pursue the greater joy. That's why Jesus says in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." What does it mean to be poor in spirit? It doesn't mean to be impoverished or in poverty. It means not to be attached to the things of this world, not to let things creep into the thrones of our hearts. It's so easy for me to spend a disproportionate amount of time on Facebook, than I am just talking to the Lord. Or why do I know every trade about the Houston Rockets? And why am I searching constantly, if Carmelo's going to happen? Or why am I looking for, some stuff I can throw in Joe's face about the Mavericks or about, the Cowboys or whatever. All things Dallas. All things satanic, Just playing. Why do I care so much? Life is busy, but we all have time and we all use our time differently. Most of us, I would say, man, I don't watch TV. Most of us, I think, in this room, we'll maybe work really hard on our kids, but, maybe we spend an hour or 30 minutes watching the news or watching sports. When was the last time you just turned the television off and let your downtime, your time of unwinding, just be, "Hey, God, what's up? Love you, Lord." Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We got to empty ourselves. We got to make time. And then we got to seek, we got to choose, and we got to value the Lord. We got to seek God, we got to pursue Him. In Deuteronomy 4:29, it says, if we seek God, we will find Him. And let me just tell you guys, if you find the Lord, if you encounter His presence, you're going to want His presence more and more. It's just, man, it'll happen. There's been times in my life where I've gone up here, let me just say this, I'm preaching to myself because I let things get in the way all the time. But the times that I've gotten it right have been amazing. There was one time that I came up here like at 5:30 in the morning, and I had some worship music on in my office, no one was here, and I literally just kind of got in my face before the Lord. And a scripture just kept coming to my mind and to my attention, and I just kept, man, meditating, and almost got a little teary and just thankful, you know, for God's goodness, and spent some time just worshiping Him, you know, in private. The minute that I got up, I opened up my computer, and my computer was set to, like, the Bible verse of the day for the homepage. The same passage that I was meditating on for all that time was the passage that was my Bible verse of the day. And I mean, I can tell you, I mean, the tangible presence of the Lord. And I'm not talking about just, you know, coincidence. I mean, no, like the Lord was in the room and I was just overwhelmed by it. We need times like that. Recently, I was convicted and I was telling our Sancta students, been married now 12 years, and it's kind of been a tradition at our home. The kids and I, every Mother's Day, we'll make like a video, an elaborate video. You know, where the kids, like this last year, our kids dressed up like Lizzie, you know, and we're acting like her, like all the things that she does in the house, like, sorry, babe, put you on the spot. But, you know, doing all these things, and it takes time, right? Like, we're working, you know, hard. The kids are, you know, changing clothes, and they're doing all this stuff, and it takes time for me to take the video and put it in the computer and find the music that lines up with it and try to line everything up to give her this, like, amazing moment during Mother's Day. I'm pursuing my wife. I was at Sanctus, and I just felt like the Lord was just whispering in my ear. He's like, Jimmy, I'm so happy that you're loving your wife like that and pursuing her extravagantly. When was the last time you extravagantly pursued me like that? And it's true. When was the last time I just took time to say, hey, Joe, I need a day off. Babe, I love you. Kids, I love you all. I need to just go get away and get alone with my God and seek Him and just reflect and try to hear His voice. And journal and write and talk and be thankful. When was the last time I extravagantly pursued the Lord like that? When we do, we'll find Him, right? And then we'll want to choose Him over lesser things. We'll want to empty ourselves. We'll want to guard our hearts in such a way where we're not letting things kind of come in the place of God. The story of Mary and Martha, we don't have time to go into it. But Mary's at the feet of Jesus doing the countercultural thing. And Martha's in the kitchen working and doing things prepared. And she says, hey, Jesus, can you tell my sister to come and help me? And I love the response Jesus gave. He said, Martha, you're worried about all this stuff, but only one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken away from her. And you have an understanding of who God is. You seek Him, you find Him, you're experiencing Him. You will choose Him over other things. And the more choices you make, it's easy to say I value something without putting any time, energy, or effort into that particular thing. Valuing Him, valuing the Lord above all else, Him being the priority of your life will begin to happen and shape you. You'll grow as a worshiper. Like Paul, I count all things as lost for the sake of knowing Christ. So we want to give you some handles this morning. Again, Joe and Carissa, I'm going to invite them up right now. Joe's going to kind of help us moderate some questions and hopefully, you know, some of the responses, you might be able to identify yourself with some of the responses that are said, and maybe there's some small things that you'd be able to do to put into practice on your day-to-day. All right? Pastor Joe, here's your mic. There you go.
Jimmy gets the little stool for that Dallas comment there. So this is going to be an attempt to wrap up a hour and 30-minute conversation we had the other day. But we wanted to kind of come up and just have a little discussion about worship and maybe get a little more detailed on some things, some specific on some things. So one of the things that Jimmy has already pointed out is that maybe one of the reasons we struggle with worship, and I'm not talking about in here, although it can happen in here. You can struggle in here. You know, I think we've all kind of hit a point where maybe we didn't know how to engage fully, you know, in here, but also just daily, living our lives. It can be a struggle. And One of the reasons that we sort of talked about and Jimmy alluded to is that I don't know if we know who we're worshiping. And we're going to kind of, this will be our big circle. We'll come back to this at the very end. But I was, we were talking about this and I asked these guys, you know, how do we better know God? How do we grow in our knowledge, in our experience of God? And then maybe for some of us, it's how do I change my desire so that I know God better? Some of us are kind of happy with not knowing God very well. We're okay with a very, very surface knowledge of who God is. And that makes worship hard, right? And so that was one of the questions that we talked about in there the other day. And y'all can just kind of jump in here. How do we grow in our knowledge of God? How do we get to know God better? How do I begin to change my desires to know God better? So you guys go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think one of the things that we deal with as humans is that we have this condition of forgetfulness, right? We are so prone to forget, and we're so quick to forget who God is and what he's done for us. And so we can look to the gospel to combat that forgetfulness, but we have to be intentional, right? And just like Jimmy quoted John 3:16, like that's such a beautiful picture of the gospel. Recite it, memorize it. And when you're feeling like you can't, you don't know what to think about Jesus, you think about that scripture that you memorized, right? You know, we can think about it this way. When we think about the price that Jesus paid for us, that Christ paid the highest price to give us the biggest gift we could ever possibly have. And that is eternal life. That is joy. That is a freedom, right? And so when we think about who it is that we worship, we think about, hey, this is the God. We can bring it to our personal lives. We can say, hey, this is the God who healed my marriage. This is the God who took me out of a financial burden. And when we come in here and we worship, we can think about those things. And that is, he's worthy to worship for that, right? He woke me up this morning, right? That's worthy of his worship, yeah. Right? I think, too, that we just live in a microwave society. We want everything, right? We want it instantly. We want instant results. We want instant everything. And, you know, getting to know God is, there's no shortcuts. We can't just think we can come in here on a Sunday morning and we can, you know, that's it. I got my God for the week. No, we don't get to know God that way. We get to know God by looking to his word. We get to know God by being a community with people who can point us to him. And I think about the scripture, John 10:27, when it says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. How many of you have had your mom call you up and you know, hey, that's my mom. I mean, my mom can breathe and I know it's my mom, right? But if somebody else calls you and they're like, hey, who's this? You know, do you know who this is? And I'm like, no, I don't know who you are. But I know my mom's voice. I know my husband's voice because I spend time with them and I know them. And so that's what I think is we need to do.
I think you made a great point there that it's hard to come in here and just show up and this may sound really bad, but I call it getting your God fix and tipping God. Coming in here and going, you know, oh, I feel good because we talked about God today, or I talked about God today, or I kind of came in and checked this off the box for the week. I didn't say you could change stools. What the heck?
It's like looking up at Carissa.
Which is hard to do. No, I'm kidding. but, you know, and then we come in and we kind of throw a penny or two into the offering plate and we feel like we've somehow interacted with God and we've just reversed it all. That's all an expression of a relationship, a walk with, that we've had with him all week long. We don't come in here so much to experience God as we come in here to share our experiences with God throughout the week, you know? And so, yeah, I just thought those were really good points, Jimmy.
Hey, just practically speaking, how can you grow in your knowledge of him? Again, like Carissa was referencing, getting scripture down in your hearts. How about specifically this week? I quoted that Psalm 145 passage. What if just this week you spent time every day reading that 145 passage? Hello, that's a big hum. And really, truly getting that down into your heart. Also, we have some books. I think there's a slide of those books. Jared, if you want to throw that up there. We have some books, and these are two books that have been super influential for me over the coming years. Yeah, are they here? The Pursuit of God A.W. Tozer. I love this book. One of the reasons I love this book, he wrote this on a train down to Brownsville. He's like leaving Chicago, going down to Brownsville. I'm from the Rio Grande Valley, so it just hits home. It is a fantastic read. And then True Worshippers by Bob Coughlin. They're in the back. They're $10. If you don't have much, just get a book. I'm not going to get mad or anything. But read, focus, pursue. It'd be a good place to start.
Yeah, so it has to be intentionality.
Yeah, I was going to read this quote that I found this week, and it's from C.J. Mahaney, The Cross-Centered Life, and it says, "Reminding ourselves of the gospel is the most important daily habit we can establish. If the gospel is the most vital news in the world, and if salvation by grace is the defining truth of our existence, we should create ways to immerse ourselves in these truths every day." Yeah. No days off allowed.
Yeah,
that's good. It's
no
so
days
good.
Off allowed.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
End of that. So one of the things that Jimmy said this week, and I don't know if this is a Jimmy quote or if this is some kind of amalgamation of other things, but he said this: all of life is a response to the moment that God opened your eyes in salvation. I think that's a really good definition of worship, just generally speaking. All of life is a response to the moment that God opened your eyes through salvation. Now, that sounds great, and I do think it's outstanding, actually. But real life isn't as clean-cut as that soundbite. So there's good days and there's bad days, right? So what does it look like on a good day to respond to God's salvation? What does that look like?
Okay, we got to slow down. This is me preaching to myself, okay? We got to slow down and just, man, be thankful for what's around us. When was the last time, like, I'm starting to enjoy kind of running, even though you can't tell, right? But like, on a moment, like, when I'm running, like, I went running yesterday morning, you know, I purposely was just trying to, like, man, like, God, like, it's a nice morning, it's clear skies, you know, just I feel the breeze, you know, and able to think. And just in a moment of running, you know, being able to thank God just for the, you know, legs. I don't know, going out to eat with your family, right? We all love some food, but man, food with other people that we care about, don't let that be an end to itself. There's joy there, right? There's joy when you're together with the people that you love. For those of you all parents that have kids that are in college and they come down for Thanksgiving or, you know, and it's, oh, they're home, my life's complete, you know? Don't let that joy that you're experiencing be an end to itself. Don't let that be the stopping point. Take the joy further. God, man, thank you for my family. Thank you for this turkey. Thank you for this food. Thank you for, man, allowing me to experience this. You go to a movie, you know, with your spouse or with some friends. God, thank you for camaraderie. Thank you just for allowing myself to have, man, bless me with these people. We got to just have our eyes open. And in the day-to-day small moments of life, take the joy further. Experience greater joy by using everything as an opportunity to worship.
So going back to that initial verse, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pure, for this is your proper, it's your spiritual act of worship. We are responding to the Lord, we're responding to God. And guys, I want TSF to be known as a place where just, not just good music, I mean, I'm thankful for our musicians, but man, just where people are engaged in worship. Corporate worship is important. It's an elevated response to God. Funny story, and then we're going to close. When I was young, my dad, he would put an ad in the paper every year to do set and not the serenades. You know, so, hey, if you'd like to do a serenade for Mother's Day, call this number. And I always got roped in because it's my dad, and, you know, my sister did it a couple of times too. We'd have to go to people's windows on the eve of Mother's Day down in the valley, like 30 to 50 windows every day, every Mother's Day, and sing three songs. My fingers are like bleeding. We're pepper spraying dogs, you know, like, get off me, you know, very awkward situations, awkward moments. But we'd go and we sing these songs, and for the most part, it was very, very well received by the mom on the other side of the glass. We didn't go and we didn't just recite some words. Antonio asked us to come tell you Happy Mother's Day. This song is for you. Solamente una. No, we sang them. It's an elevated response. Sometimes words aren't enough. Corporately, sometimes words aren't enough. And we need to respond rightly to God corporately. Experience Him all the more. I want to do that. I want us to grow in that. I want us to experience His presence more. But we have to have our hearts lined up. So we talked about a couple of things. We talked about emptying ourselves before the Lord. Some of us have our lives cluttered and they're filled to the T, and you just need to just declutter your life a little bit. Take some things out and give some space for God. Make some conscious decisions to do that. Secondly, I think there's some people in here that you got to deal with your sin. And sometimes dealing with our sin is not a next day kind of a deal. It's not, I'm dealing with this right now and it's over. Sometimes it takes years, especially if there's a lot of baggage from childhood, a lot of things that we need the grace of God to deal with and to war against and to get to a place of health. But we got to own our stuff, right? And I think a lot of us in this room, it's easier, and maybe that's why we're so preoccupied with sports and news and politics and everything else, because it keeps us from like looking inside of what's really going on in our hearts. Will you own your stuff? Will you start owning your sin this morning and let repentance really happen. Man, may God grant you the gift of tears, right? Man, God, I'm sorry for continually being this way, continually going back to these things. What is it about me that wants these things over you? Owning your stuff. And then lastly, I want you all to own your worship. Guys, I'm not responsible for leading you all into the presence of the Lord. I'm not. No one on this. It's a weight that I don't want to carry and I don't want. You own your worship. Own it. Own your worship. Own your relationship with the Lord. Worship's more than a song. Worship's more than a good singer. Respond rightly. Own your worship. Father God, Lord, I just pray that we would not see you as a means to an end, as a stepping stone to something else, Lord, that you are the means and you are the end. You are the means. You are the prize, Lord. God, that you would be first and foremost the thing that we treasure in this life, God. Forgive us, Lord. We repent now for letting things, even good things, God, take the place of you and take the place of you in our lives, Lord. Forgive us. Lord, I pray that we could echo Paul, Lord, in Philippians, God, as a church, Lord, that I would count everything as a loss for the sake of knowing you. Even in the midst of the storm, even in the midst of the uncertainty, God, you are still above it all, and you are still the top priority of my life. I have joy and peace in you, Lord. Bring us to that place, Lord, and forgive us, God. And for those in this room that raised their hand, Lord, I just pray, God, that you'd give them the courage, the wisdom, Father God, to make some changes, Lord, in their lives, to dethrone whatever that is in their hearts, God, and that you would reign, Lord. Maybe this morning you came into this place and you've been in church a whole bunch and you've heard the gospel time and time again, but you've never really surrendered your life to Christ. The cross, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for you and for me. And you haven't worshiped the Lord because you just don't know him, because you haven't surrendered your life to God, to Jesus. And maybe this morning, where you're sitting right now, we said it's by his Spirit, right? Spirit and in truth. Maybe the Holy Spirit is beginning to nudge your heart a little bit. He's pulling on your heartstrings, and he's telling me, today's the day. Now is the time. Don't wait. Experience life and fullness and joy and rest. In me, I am worth it. Holy Spirit may be nudging you, just telling you, man, just to let it go and surrender. And to really surrender, not just lip service. But if you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior today, you'd like to find out what it means to be a Christian, what it means to follow him, would you just raise your hand this morning? I see you. I see the hand raised. All of us, let's just say this prayer. Lord, everyone pray, Lord, I'm a sinner. I confess my sin to you now. I thank you that your son Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe he is God. I believe he rose again from the dead. I believe he's my Savior. Jesus, save me. come into my heart. I surrender my life to you.